people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you today, Lord, we come to you grateful. For Lord, for those of us with salvation, we are glad for the change you have made in our lives. And Lord, the whole world in the next week or so will be looking at a version of you. Not a truthful version, but they'll be looking at a version of you. Lord, I pray this, that you save their souls. Help them, Lord, to see you as you are. And Father, we would see your people brought to you. And Lord, that a difference might be made from them that were brought from death. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We in our natural estate are dead. Without salvation, spiritually, we are dead. Our thoughts are to ourselves. We are doing things that are not good for us, and we continue to do those things. We hurt ourselves. We hurt others. We do exactly what a dead thing does. Every decision for ourselves. Nothing but rot and ruin when it comes down to our spiritual health. Oh, sure, there's a lot of lost people do a lot of good things, a lot of amazing things, a lot of kind people I love to sit down and get to know better and just enjoy their company. Never knew the Lord. They're friendly, they're good folks, it seems, but spiritually, they're dead, just the same as you and I were. But just as he brought Lazarus back forth out of his grave, that is what he has done for those that are saved. He has made us alive spiritually. He has saved our souls. He has brought peace to our hearts. Gave us an eternity we don't deserve. Lazarus, just as much as he is a type or an example of Christ, Lazarus is also a very good type or an example of us. One who was long since dead and brought back to life. Remember, Jesus, when he came, Lazarus' sister said, "You are late. Had you come days ago, you'd have healed him." And that's the thing. So many people, they just want healing. But what Jesus does goes far beyond just healing. He doesn't just fix our situations, doesn't just take illnesses away. But our God brings life where there was death. Being the one who gives life, being the one who created life, being the one who is the issuer of all life, that is what he does. Verse 9 again, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead." Lazarus, though we never hear a sermon, Lazarus, though we never see anything he has said, we don't hear him sit there and say anything bringing people to Christ. We don't know what his role was within the following of Christ, was preaching messages without a single word. Not just Jesus. We want to see this Lazarus guy. We want to see the difference that has been made in him. As the Lord. What's that? John 12. We need to get a hearing aid assistant thing in here, because when I say Luke 12, you should hear John. That's John 12. Add that to the blooper reel. All right, John 12. You're welcome. I'm trying to figure out why everyone's looking at me so grumpy. If Ruth Ann were here, if Ruth Ann were here, she'd just already teleported to me. She'd already told me. When the Lord brought us back from the death, back from dead, he sure didn't make us smarter, as I prove to you every day. But he changes us. He makes us better. And what's going to happen is the people in the world around you, they're going to notice. They should notice. They ought to notice. It is hard-pressed to find a brand new Christian who's newly saved, who has a hard time speaking about it. We can't help but talk about it. Hey, the Lord saved us. And sure, the people at work, the family and friends that we have, the people that we see at school, they might not fully understand what we're talking about. Oh, but we're so excited. He's changed me. He's forgiven me. And some people will sit there and they'll give you a look and they'll say, all right, well, give it time, give it time. They'll come back. Give it time. You know, they got excited. They got some religion. But they will eventually settle back down to the person I know. The crazy thing is that when the Lord saves somebody, they don't go back. The language clears up. The bad habits clean up. The attitude in the heart changes altogether. And finally, they're surrounded by a bunch of people trying to figure out what happened to you. You used to come out and get kicked out of the bars with us. You used to be the toughest fighter on the whole crew. You used to be the biggest gossip of all of us. You used to be, you'd come back with us, hang out. We'd be able to sit there and talk trash about everybody. You've changed. And a lot of folks, they're not going to like the change that you make. And we'll look at people like that here in a little bit. But for them, every now and then, for some people, you're going to run across some people that look at you and they're going to want a piece of what you have. They're going to want it too. They came, they wanted to see Jesus, but not just Jesus. They wanted to see the product of what he had done. They want to see Lazarus too. I love seeing a Christian who's different. I'm a saved person, and I see a Christian who is acting different than they had in the past, that is more sanctified in their behavior, that is more set apart and holy in their actions. I don't look at that and I want salvation. I've already got it. I'll look at that and I'll catch fire too. I'll be excited to see someone that the Lord has pumped life into. You hear that story? There was a football player, something like that, over in Europe. Had a good teacher when he was a kid, right? It was a typical story. I was a bad kid in school. Had a good teacher turn me around. One of them stories. And the guy had come to the conclusion, somebody must have told him down through the grapevine, that teacher had died. And oh, he was so very sad. They got him on one of those television shows or one of those interview things they had him with. And they're like, hey, we have a surprise for you. We've got that teacher that meant so much. And he sees the teacher and he starts to cry. I thought you were dead. And the guy just kind of sits there and he goes, well, I'm not. You ever have that happen? Maybe it's a movie star. Maybe it's an old friend. Maybe it's somebody you're used to seeing from conferences and things like that. You come to the conclusion somehow that they had passed away, and then you find them and you go, hey, they're still around. That's wonderful. I hope that doesn't happen too often. But if it's ever happened, you know the oddity that it is. But you know what I have found? Never have you ever said, oh man, I thought you passed away. I thought you were gone a long time ago. I've never had him say, oh, I was. Lazarus was the only person on earth that can sit there and say, I did die. I was at your funeral for the first day. Well, you should have stuck around. That last day of the funeral was something else. There's going to be people that run into you. Oh man, are you still closing the bars down? Oh man, are you still running around with what's her name? Hey, are you guys still going down there? Are you guys still gossiping around the teapot? Are you still the person you are? And you'll sit there and you'll say, no. No, that person's gone. God has gifted to me a new way. God has given me a new understanding. And I am glad. You know what that's going to do? God's going to take people like you, and he's going to make a difference. There may be times in your life, you know what I mean? I am preaching left, right, and center on this whole giving the gospel thing these past few months. And there may be some people that sit there and they sit there saying, I can't make a difference. There's nothing I can do, brother. At my age, I've done everything you can. I've never made a difference. I'm not going to make a difference. Can I introduce an idea to you? It's not you that makes the difference. It's God. God makes a difference through you. I've got a scrub brush in my kitchen sink. That scrub brush can't do a thing unless someone puts their hand to it. over there in the over here in the closet. We got tools, hammers, nails, screws. We've got hardware of all sorts. We've got paint and paintbrushes and rollers. We got tools of every kind. Not a one of them can do a thing on their own. But you can make a difference with them. I'll have tools for us to go give the gospel with, things that we can do. We've already got things already out. They can't do a thing. Go ahead and leave a Bible tract on a bathroom counter. Go ahead. It ain't nothing but for the janitor to throw away. Go ahead and we can take those materials. We can rent a helicopter. Somebody invited me to a party we could go to where they'll have a helicopter fly over the church and they'll drop a bunch of eggs onto the church for the kids to run and to come grab. Go ahead, we'll get one of those helicopters and we'll fly that out there with Bible tracts and we'll just dump it over every city park. And if those little things, they won't do anything on their own. But the materials we have, us ourselves, they are all things God could grab a hold of and use. It is God who makes a difference. Lazarus did not save people. The example of Lazarus did not save people. Jesus Christ used the resurrection of Lazarus to save people, to convict their hearts and show them what is possible. Because when you look at what we believe at face value, like a lot of people do, so what is it that you guys can't do, right? That's a question I'll get every now and then from folks. What is it that your church can't do? Can you dance? Can you drink? Can you swear? Can you have tattoos? Well, what can't you do over there at your church? That's what they see. Now you go over to the Lutherans, you can't do this, but you can do that. You go over to the Baptists, you can't do this, but you can do that. But when they can see the difference in your life, it's a different story. When they can see peace where there shouldn't be peace, when they can see healing, when the quacks they pay $200 an hour for tell them you'll never heal, when you see a change being made to a life stubborn and self-centered, that'll be a different story. That'll be a different story. Because it's not about the merit in the things they've got to give up anymore. And now it's seeing something that they wish they had. Folks, we didn't trade the bad for the good. God gave us the good and we no longer required the bad. We lost our taste for it. It wasn't a trade. And that's how so many of the world sees it today. I've got to trade my sin for Jesus. No, he died on the cross for that sin. And you'll be sick of it when you see him for who he is. I'd rather have Jesus than this stuff. I'd rather. I'll repent of it in a second. I'll turn it aside. I don't want anything to do with it because I would rather have what God has for me. I got no room for anything else. To sit there and see a man like Lazarus. Well, he died though. Yeah, but he's back. Okay, well, maybe he hit his head. And he doesn't breathe real deep. No, it was days. He'd have died of dehydration inside that tomb. If he was sick going in, he would have been dead. He would have been dead in a while. He died and was brought back. And many of us, we know exactly what that's like, to live dead in our trespasses and sins. It seemed like every decision that we made things worse. And after a while, many people, they begin to see that the good that they bring into their lives and the good that they bring into the lives of others does not surpass the pain that they feel for going through life. But when you have Jesus, when you have salvation, when God is your portion and your help, there is no end to it. There was a young doctor working on my mom's hand. I asked you guys to pray for her as she had that surgery. Working out of my mom's hand. He goes, whoo, you see this? He goes, you feel that? My mom goes, yeah. He goes, whoo. He goes, you feel this? And she goes, yeah. He goes, all right. He goes, you are lucky And I made a face. I go, we don't deal in luck. Because you see that? You missed the artery altogether. He goes, stopped right at the artery. He goes, that's crazy. I go, no, that's about right. It's about right. But we got to start seeing, even in the bad things, all the things that God has done to protect. All the things that God has done to bless. And we revel in this life that we can sit there and say, yes, it is terrible. Yes, it is horrible. These things that take place. But God is ever true. And God blesses in every situation. And there are things that God prevents. And these things that we hang on to, these things that we think we need, that are sin, that are only hurting us. I get up here and I beat this pulpit up about promiscuity. Shouldn't be out there sleeping around. We'll just call it old-fashioned, right? Sat in that trauma room this weekend. I was there when a young girl got brought in. She was sitting there in a car, 14, 15 years old. Had a boyfriend, 21 years old. They got into a wreck, shattered her arm. 21 is the name of the age of the fella. 21! Mom and dad sitting there laughing about it. Kids will be kids, they said. I came home, I told Danielle, I said, listen. If some 21-year-old punk tries to take my 14-year-old daughter out, it wouldn't be laughter, it'd be felonies. And I'm not even a tough guy. I'm telling you, it makes me sick how comfortable we are with sin. Oh, well, you know, it's a new age, it's a new thing. No, that's breaking the law is what's going on there. I'm sorry. There was another fella brought in. Later in the night, got into a gang altercation, got shot. What is that? That's more breaking the law. That's more exposing yourself to things. These are the kind of people that would sit there and laugh at us for being here on a Sunday morning, call us all a manner of soft and square and silly because of what we believe and what we cling to. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't me bleeding there on that table. Why? Because I don't go to places like that. We need to start realizing that these sins, this sickness we hang on to, is killing us. And there will be people out there dying in that way that look to you and say, I wish I had what they had. And it's not you who had, you don't have it for your merit, it ain't you. God has given it to you. Just about everybody who'd go to see Lazarus had been to a funeral one way or the other. Typically, when I go to a funeral, man, I've seen some funerals go some weird ways. Just some weird things happen at a funeral. But you know what? It pretty much ends the way I expect it to end. I've never gone to a funeral and had to cancel it because the person came back to life. Never. Oh, maybe it's been canceled because of a storm. Maybe it's been held off because of a bureaucratic error, left or right, issues with the funeral home, issues with the graveyard. Sure, but I've never been to one that was canceled because the person woke up on the day we were supposed to bury him. That would be something. I wonder if the funeral home would give a refund. Knowing them, probably not. They'd seen something they don't normally see there. And they wanted to be acquainted with it. They wanted to see it. Folks, we need to live our lives differently. We need to stop hiding the joys and the wonder and the things that God has given us. Well, you're sitting there saying, man, you know, God really blessed this. Well, if God was blessing, why did anything bad happen in the first place? No, that's not the way it works in this world. Again, this is the land of the dying. Bad things will happen here because we brought bad things here. That's what happens. You sit there, well, that's a blessing, that's a blessing, that's a blessing. That doesn't embarrass you to talk about in public? Absolutely not. I love it. I love telling other people how I think God is blessing a certain situation. Sitting there going, that's fantastic. So she'll keep the feeling in her finger? Yeah, she'll keep the feeling in her finger as long as nothing changes. And I prayed, Lord, let nothing change. Help that to grow back the way it's supposed to. Have everything go the way it needs to. And in that we have peace. Listen, I got four critters in that back pew. At least I think they're all four back there. There she is. I have four critters sitting in that back. I don't know what the future holds, but I pray. And as I pray, it gives me peace. Will they stay in church? Will they not? Will the Lord save all of them? Will they find good people to marry? Will they pursue lives where they seek honoring and pleasing the Lord in everything they do? Will they be successful? Will they always have food to eat and a roof over their head? Man, I don't know, but I pray and it gives me peace. I'll sit there, I'll look at my future, my health, your health, our health, the church's health. I can't tell you what the future's going to bring. I don't know what it's going to be like. But I'll tell you this, there is immense pleasure, yes, pleasure, in praying to God and leaving it in His hands. Even when things fall sideways, when I look at things, when I'm looking at some evidence and stuff, and I'm like, okay, well, we got to start doing this, we got to stop doing that, even that I have joy in. Why? Because my Father holds all things in His hands. And nothing will happen He doesn't deem fit. And there's nothing that can happen that would overwhelm Him. Man, things overwhelm me all the time. I bet they get you too. Nothing overwhelms my God. Man, if I were lost to have to sit there and look at some of the things that have happened in my life, I could point back to a handful of things. That right there would have been my funeral. That right there would have been when I gave up on life. Were it not for the grace of God. Were it not for the fact that He's my strength and He's my portion. That would have shattered my brain a long time ago. We serve a God who does not get overwhelmed. And who reaches both of His hands in. And holds me, and holds my situation, and brings to me what the kids sing, peace that passes all understanding. How can you have peace? Because of God. If this were in my hands, oh, I'm with you. But I have peace because of God. Verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Could you imagine sitting there in your false religion? And by the way, what the Pharisees were practicing wasn't really the law. It was their perverted version of it. But there they are. They're holding synagogue. They're sitting together. They're having their meetings. And they start to miss people. Well, where's everybody at? Well, we had three missing last meeting. We had seven missing after that. I heard they've been out following after this Jesus guy. I hear that they've been down the road while he was preaching. I heard that they went over to this city where Jesus was healing. Oh, we got to put a stop to this. We got to put an end to it. Well, when did this start to happen? Remember that funeral for Lazarus? Yeah, we remember it. But I don't think that's anything we ought to be talking about. Well, why? Because every time we talk about it, people start disappearing. There's going to be people that see a change in you, and they're not going to like it. And many of you are sitting there saying, brother, I was saved decades ago. You know I'm right. Well, what do I do with all these people who don't want to be around someone like that? You don't have to tell them anything. They'll take one look at where you're going, and they'll not want to have anything to do with it. They'll go. Well, the Bible says I shouldn't keep bad company. I shouldn't sit there with sinners and get involved in the things that they do. Well, how do I tell them? You don't have to. They're not going to want anything to do with you. The bad crowd who doesn't want anything to do with God, they won't have anything to do with you once the Lord saves you. They'll stop calling. They'll ask you out once or twice. Let's go out for a beer. Let's go out shooting. Let's go out bowling. Let's go out do this or that. And you say, well, here's the thing. I don't drink anymore and I don't smoke and I don't swear and just, you know, hey, come on over on a Sunday morning. We'll go do this. Oh, no, I'm headed to church. You just watch. Your social card's going to open all the way up. And I hear some people, they'll say back to that, oh no, everything's the same. I go to the bar, I just don't drink. Oh no, I'll hang out with them. I just don't smoke what they're smoking and we're good. And then there are the people who come forward. Hey, I messed up. Pastor, will you help me? I need some advice. I got stuck up in this stuff again. And then after a while, they stop coming forward asking for help because they just keep that sin private. And we do the most unchristian Christian thing that we do, and that's this. Nobody tell the church what we're doing. Which again, as I have explained to you 1,000 times over, is a joke. Folks, you do not stay away from things I say are bad, or else I'm going to bring some physical discomfort to you. That's not what religion is. That is a cult. That's how cults work. People will use peer pressure to bully me if I don't do what they say. That is a cult. We are not one of those. I do what I do, not because I'm afraid of you, but because I am afraid of God. The best I can do is make you feel just a little bit guilty on a Sunday morning. That's the best I got. Don't be afraid of me. By all means, please listen to me. I work hard on these things, all right? Please listen to me. But don't fear me. Fear God. And keep His commandments. Love God. And keep His commandments. My mom was trying to explain to my boys about chores and how chores worked in our house and in her house when she was young. She goes, my mom was tough, and these were the things that I had to do. And I was much easier on your dad. And I made a noise. But anyway, but to this day, I used to be when mom would come home like out during the summer, we'd be on our own, and we had to have certain chores done by the time dad got home and certain things done by the time mom got home. Because dad went in earlier, so he got off earlier, and then mom went in later, so she got off later. So we knew what we had to do, and there were times where we would rush around the house to get things done. Folks, I am knocking on the door to 40. It is my house, and I still rustle around the house. All right, let's make sure this is done, that done. Are the dishes done? Because still there. My dad could call me and say, come take out the trash, and folks, I'd probably do it without thinking. I'd be halfway down the road before I realized I don't live there no more. Now, why? Well, when I was a kid, I did that stuff because I was afraid that mom or dad would take the car away. That mom or dad, you know, depending on my age, would punish us, ground us, spank us, take the TV away, take something away. We did it out of fear of retribution. Now when I say that I fear my parents, it's more respect and love. Out of respect and love, I'll do these things. So when we say fear the Lord, it is out of a love and a respect. And oh yes, an understanding that punishments are nigh. That is why we follow them. There will be people who see a change in your life and it will bother them. And you know what they'll do? I mean, think about it. Somebody's brought back to life and their answer, of course, is to kill them because this is ridiculous. Here's what their plan was probably going to be. When you look at these kind of people, this is what it would be. They'll kill them and be like, well, you can't prove he's alive. All you got is a corpse. And we're in charge. And you're not. We're going to tell everybody you're crazy. Because he's dead. You can't say he's alive anymore. He's dead. And that's what they'll do to you. They'll try to prove that you're still dead. They'll try to get you back into sin. They'll try to prove, oh, no, no, you got excited about God, but you'll come back. And they'll tell other people too. Hey, no, 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 it's Jay. Listen, it'll change. People can't change. People say this to me. Addictions, you know, I was talking to that guy. Nobody ever comes out of active addiction. And I go, you know what? I've known a lot of people who were addicted to things, and I mean addicted to things. And they go years without thinking about it because of the Lord. I was sitting there with somebody who was actively addicted to alcohol. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who drank. I'm talking about somebody who could not go to work without drinking, who drank about half of their brain cells away if you listen to them. Somebody who drank alcohol, like we would drink coffee or tea, or some people even water. And when the Lord saved him, he put the bottle away, never touched it again. Why? Because he was so strong? No, because God gifted him that. Never touched a drop again. And somebody was sitting there as we were giving the gospel. Oh yeah, no, once you're an addict, you're always an addict. And I couldn't help myself because I've got the impulse control of a child, and I looked over at him. Little grin on his face. Oh, no, no, you didn't really give it up. It's just going to be a while before you come back to it. Oh, no, you can't really feel better, right? Once something bad happens to you, you got to be in mourning for the rest of your life. No, bad things affect you. It's true. You don't completely heal. There are a lot of times there's a scar. But healing takes place, man. Healing takes place. No, you never heal. Oh, you do. Not all the way. There's a mark. There's a point where you can see, yep, that affects. And I'll tell you what, there's some things we ought to remember. But they'll do the best they can to discredit the change in you. They'll do the best they can to discourage you. But you keep living. You keep living after the Lord. You keep having that peace, that joy. You keep getting that fulfillment. You grow in strength and knowledge and wisdom the way the Lord grows us. You follow further on of the perfection of the saints, as the Bible calls it. Every day getting more mature, every day serving better and more thoroughly, every day gathering experience and know-how, you keep going. Despite what people around you may say. Well, your religion ain't religion, it's just a bunch of laws and rules, and I don't need that in my life. You keep telling yourself that. But what you're missing is grace and love and forgiveness. Those things that God is telling us, they are not things that old white men made up in castles and things like that just to make our lives boring. These things are killing us. They are hurting us. They are destroying society. And God condemns them openly. And they are evidence that screams to our inability to behave. But what God gives to us is not shame, but mercy. Mercy. You live in that mercy. You relish and revel in it. And you enjoy it right in front of them. Verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him up from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. You keep living in God's grace. You keep following after his commands. You keep doing what he asked you to do. And there's some things that you can expect when it comes down to making a difference in this world. And the first one is right there in verse 17. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The people that were there at the grave of Lazarus. Oh no. Oh no. He was in there. Oh no. By that time, he'd a stunk. I was there when they loaded him up in that grave. He was dead. Well, how do you know he was dead? He was in his grave clothes. Now again, when we say grave clothes, we're not talking about the suit they buried him in. We're talking about the wrappings, the embalmings. They'd have had their hands all over him. They saw him come out. They saw the people. That many of them were there. Some of them had gone down to loose him from those grave clothes. They were there. And they said, oh no, I'll tell you. He's alive. I'll tell you, he was dead and he was alive. And there's going to be people in your life that will stand up and say, I was there when they were running around town. I was there when they were sowing their wild oats. And I'm telling you, they're different. Because some people will ask, were they always like that? Were they always this holier than thou? Were they always this different in their behavior? Were they always this happy? No, there was a time they were miserable. They were running from success to success. They were fighting tooth and nail. But one day they came into the office and they said the Lord had saved them, and they've been different ever since. I'll tell you, they're different. I'll tell you, there's life there where there wasn't life before. Verse 18, for this cause the people also met him. So you're saying that this Jesus guy really brought him back? Yeah. And there's going to be many that turn like the Pharisees do, but there's going to be some that will turn like these guys did. And they'll say, well, I want to know this Jesus too. What do you mean you get through the day without a drink? What do you mean you get through the day you don't got to smoke a bucket of weed to do it? What do you mean you're not always fighting with your spouse? What do you mean you're not always in great contention with everybody you come across? What do you mean you don't hate the world? What do you mean that they can sit there and live their lives without freaking out about what they see on CNN? What do you mean their lives are like that? I want to meet that Lord too. Let me know more about that Jesus. There'll be people that'll stand up and they will say Jesus made a difference in their life. And they'll want to meet him too. And what of these people that would say otherwise? What about these false religionists? What about these lifelong sinners, those people dedicated to rejecting anything of God? What about them? Verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Let me tell you about Flat Rock, place I grew up. Flat Rock had religion. Like some people, some places have Subways, you know what I mean? Not Subways like you can take a ride, but Subways like the sandwiches, you know what I mean? Pardon the phrase, but you couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a church in my town. I grew up in a place where there was so much false religion, it was a joke. We had Jehovah's Witnesses, we had just about any flavor you could imagine, we had it right there in that tiny little town. There were people in there of an ungodly sort. There were people that I went to school with that at a very young age got on drugs, got into a bad group of guys, and they would bring that stuff into the school, and they would offer, hey, you listen, you want a beer, you want a joint, you want this, you want that. We had it all. I grew up in the cable age where, you know, man, you had hundreds of channels that would teach you how to sin in the form of entertainment and sitcom television. And then as I got a little bit older, we got this little thing called the internet, thanks to Al Gore. We got the internet, and it got a hold of everything. You could see everything. Things you would have to whisper about in back alleys were right there in everybody's homes for the first time. I had every opportunity, because the devil gave me every opportunity. Just the same as he's done for everybody else in this world, every opportunity. And you know what I'm still seeing? I'm still seeing the Lord working. And that will come as we make a difference in this world. While we've put it in television shows, and we've put ungodliness in the schools, in the entertainment. We have put it in books. We have put it on the side of the road. We have made sure that there's false religion everywhere. We have put atheism and Gnosticism and agnosticism everywhere. And it's not stopped God from working. He's even saving people in these corrupt institutions. I love people with that testimony. I love every testimony. I feel like I say that for just about every testimony here. I love that testimony. I do. People who are in false religion and they're reading in their Bibles and they see that Jesus says, repent and believe. And they go, well, I don't know about all this other stuff they're saying. This guy says we got to give X amount of dollars in order for God to save us. This fella says I got to burn these candles after my loved one dies and hope that people burn those candles for me when I die in order for me to get into heaven. But the Bible says repent and believe. And the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them and they do. I giggle over that. I think that's amazing. He can do it in those institutions. That's how great God is. Never forget that the devil's more frustrated than we are. Never forget he has to work twice as hard, if not more. And the people out there in this world, dedicated to their flesh, dedicated to their carnal thinking, let them be just as frustrated. Because we shouldn't change. We ought to make the difference. Verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. We'd like to see him. Now here's the thing. I would love to grab people by the hand, take them to the throne where Jesus Christ sits today. Let them see him face to face. But I don't even have that privilege myself. But what I can do is I can show them Jesus in everything I do. I can show them Jesus in the Bible. I can show them Jesus as I emulate his behavior, as I go through my life. I can show people Jesus. Listen, I can't take you to where he is, but I can tell you about his mercy. I can show you how it's affected my life, and I can show you how that mercy can affect your life. See how you're doing that? Yeah, I don't have to do that. Because I've already got it. Man, just having a conversation. Well, how much do you spend on that a week? Well, it's about $50. Doesn't that ever bother you? Yeah, it gets tight from time to time, but I'm not a good kind of person without it. $50 to be a good person every week, is that worth it? That sounds a bit much to me. Some of you are on fixed incomes. $50 to be a decent human being. You know, this guy in particular, he was talking about something particular you could smoke. I've known some people who need something particular they can drink to be a decent person. That's expensive, ain't it? There's another person, $120 a week they spend to go to yoga class so that they can stretch and breathe and just calm down. I've never gone to a yoga class. If I ever go to one, I'll warn you. $120. For $120, you better stretch me for me. Well, what do you do? Oh, before it gets like that, I pray. See, as I walk with God, I notice he'll pick things up for me. As I walk with God, I'll notice that he bears my burdens. As my life stays away from sin, I panic less. I worry less. The closer I walk with him, the more peace I have knowing that he is there. And he will take care of it. Told you before, I went out door knocking with a man named Dan Farrell, just about 7 foot tall, monster of a man, built like a door frame. He sat there and he's trying to explain to me, a young person in college, how to do this. And as we're coming up to a door, we hear behind the door, row, 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 row. And he goes, all right, and we're long back on the walkway up to the house. He goes, all right, here's what you're going to do. I go, sir, I already know what I'm going to do. He goes, what's that? I go, that dog comes out of that house. I'm going to stand right behind you. He just looked at me, told me what you should actually do, but that was my plan, man. Somebody big comes out that door, I'm going to hide behind the biggest person there. And if I am the biggest person there, I'm going to bleed. That's what's going to happen. I found that as I walk with the Lord, He picks up these battles for me. I find that He battles with me. Not against me, but with me. Why? Because when I'm walking with Him, it's His walk. It's His path. It's His way. I find that even though the road turns rocky and there's things that get in the way, my God is a master at working me through obstacles. And if I dash my foot or I get scratched on a thorn as I'm walking in His path, He is quick to heal it and He will guide me through. There's going to be people looking at you without your $120 habits to reset what was never there to carry. There's going to be people that look over at you with the things that you don't need to constantly feed yourself to distract you from the pain. And they're going to go, what's the secret? And you're going to look them in the eye and they're going to say, I've got a God that handles that pain for me. There's a man I know went through things that only a soldier can go through. His name is Ken Pugh. I'll tell you his name because he's a good guy. He came back. He retired from his service. And he was over in the places where they were burning the oil rigs. He's going to have medical issues for the rest of his life. Saw some things, did some things, tore him up. And every now and then he gets to struggling about some of the stuff that he had seen and some of the stuff he'd done. And the medical issues wear him down. One of the most faithful men you'll ever meet. Reminds me a lot of Brother Dennis. Well, trust in the Lord. And every now and then he'll see somebody who's struggling themselves. You know what he does? Put his arms on him. One of the most encouraging, one of the strongest people I've ever met. And I've never had to ask him why he's like that. Never. I know why. Because when that load gets heavy, when that sickness gets too much on him, he's already relying on the Lord. He's already there. Some of us, we haven't quite learned what Ken Pugh has learned. We wait until it gets too heavy. We wait until it gets too hard. We wait until we've got nothing left in the tank and we go, oh yeah, hey God. He's a man I can say that is drastically different than the man I first met. And I giggle too because his kids started coming to the church first. They were our friends growing up and they would come to the church and they would be in the youth group and things like that. And every time we'd go over to visit the house, if he was home, if he was around, he was drunk and angry. You go down there and meet him today, and many of you have, he is the softest teddy bear you will ever meet now. Dry as the desert, but soft and warm and loves God. I sit there, there's men like that I look at and I say, if there's anybody out there showing the love of God, if there's anybody out there showing the mercy, if there's anybody out there who's put everything they have in the hands of God, is that man right there. Has he made mistakes? Of course he has. And he'll tell you better than I could. Is he perfect? Nope. But when he's not, he gets it right. We need to strive to be like Lazarus. Look how the Lord has brought me back. Look how the Lord has put life into me where I didn't have it before. Look at the change that he has made. And don't you want some of that too? Don't you want peace that don't cost $120 and you got to be somewhere at 7 o'clock on a Monday? Don't you want someone to carry the burdens, to carry the load? Don't you want wisdom where you ain't got it and knowledge where you're striving for it? We can make a difference in this world because in us, God has taken something that was once dead and brought it to life. And that is a curious thing people will want to know about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your great salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Lord, the peace. Lord, for all the things you do for us. Father, even in our most miserable of times, you provide blessing after blessing. Lord, you protect us from things getting worse. So, Lord, we ask this, that you make us good students, Make us good followers. And Father, please, as we read here, make us good examples of the work you can do. So that, Lord, more may see you, that more may desire your hand. That, Father, that this world be made different because of the work you do for people like us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Page 150.